Right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we stand in awe at your wondrous ways. We stand in awe, Lord, at your creation. And Lord, we just thank you that we can be part of you. Lord, we just thank you that we can have eternal life. We thank you that you care and that you watch over us. And in all things, Lord, let us understand your plan. Let us understand your purposes to conform us more into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we always yield ourselves to you in faith and faithfulness, running the race to the end. And we ask you for the strength to do that, Lord. Open our eyes to your word and bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we continue with our study of Job. And we're going to be looking at Bildad, Zophar, and Job's response. Bildad, Zophar, and Job's response. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the disasters of Job. How Satan was given permission by God to put Job through a really great test and an affliction. And after Job had lost everything, he went and sat in silence in the ash heap with three friends for 7 days and seven nights. And last week we looked at the response of Job and Eliphaz. Job curses his day, the day that he was born, and he desires not to have been born at all. Then in chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, he says, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. I was in safety, I was quiet, yet trouble still came." And this we discussed is the great faith movement's reason for Job's troubles and ultimately the reason for your troubles. It's their excuse for the book because they don't understand it. Yet we know that God gave permission to Satan to cause these troubles. That's the real reason. And the Hebrew text of these verses gives the idea that when calamity began to befall him, Job feared that it would continue until he had lost all. In other words, he heard about one loss and then feared that other losses would follow until he had lost all. And in trying to think of a better way to explain these two verses, due to the tremendous influence of the false faith movement, the charismatic movement, I realized that I could use an example from my own experience. In my mid-20s, my wife and I were very well off. We were doing well. And due to my commitments to the army, as with most people in the 80s in this country, I was called up to do another operation in Angola. And so we decided to go away for a weekend and then I would go and do what I had to do. And so we packed and we went to the coast. And the very next morning at 6 o'clock, we were woken up with a phone call that we had had a robbery at our house. My wife woke me up and told me the great news. And at that moment, I knew that there would be more bad news until all was lost. We were cleaned out. And I can say the same as Job. I feared that not only was the house cleaned out, but also that the safe was gone and everything else and all the securities that went with it. In other words, there was more bad news to come, and I knew that it was going to come. It's the same idea as with Job. We never feared that we would be robbed. It never even entered our minds. We stayed in a cluster complex. No one around us was robbed. I don't think to this day anyone in that complex has been robbed. There were security guards. No one was hijacked. These things never happened in the white areas in the mid to late 80s. And so no one walked around fearing that something was going to happen. But once the first news came, it was that fear or that realization that more bad news would come until all was lost. And so we didn't walk around, as the great faith movement would say, fearing that something was going to come, so it came upon us. Never entered our minds. We were in a place of safety. We were a place of quietness. We were in a place of prosperity and rest. Yet, as Job says, trouble came. We had 10 times more in our safe than the value of the house. And so we didn't have to start over again. We went way past the starting line. We had to come back to the starting line to start over again. Starting over again would have been fine. But first we had to come back to that point. And that's the idea of Job. He feared bad news, and more bad news would come, and it came until all was lost. Like in the middle of the night when you receive a phone call. You don't walk around for weeks fearing that you're going to receive a phone call. But when the phone call comes, you realize that bad news is on the way and more bad news follows until all is lost. It's the same type of thing. And we also had friends like Job. At that time, we were already standing up against the charismatic movement, the prosperity movement, exposing their wrong teachings. And I was going around especially talking about Abraham's covenant of divine health, prosperity and long life. You know that one? Those three words don't stand in the Bible, and so we were busy going through those issues. And the only problem was is that we were the only ones doing it. And they also said, see, you have obviously come against God and God's anointed. You have the doctrine of the devil. You can't be blessed. You see, I understand people like Eliphaz, Bildad and Zophar. We felt like Job. Well, we never lost any children, thank the Lord for that. But it was the same type of feeling. Later on, they diagnosed their eldest daughter with leukemia. And 2 weeks later, they said, sorry, we just made a mistake. So there were a lot of things going on. And it was the same type of issue. Where are you, Lord? What are you doing? What have we done? How are we going to get out of this? And Job did, and you do. But you just have to trust Him completely after that. And in a situation like this, what else is there to do? You have witnessed for so long. What are you going to do? You have to go out believing. You've tied yourself up. Not so. It's the way I read Jesus and His disciples when His disciples start leaving Jesus. And He turns to the last few disciples left and He says to them, are you going to leave also? And I can just see myself standing there. Lord, we sold the boat. Got rid of the fishing nets. Don't even own a fishing rod. What do you want me to do? There's nothing else to do. We might as well just die with you. Not so. The Lord takes you to that place. Well, let's continue. Eliphaz argued from the standpoint of human experience. Job, I have never seen the innocent perish, nor the righteous cut off. Those who sow iniquity and wickedness must reap the same. So come on, Job. We can clearly see that you are not so righteous, that you have a hidden sin. Tell us, Job. We know that you are evil deep down inside. And that's the same thing that they told us. But now I want to look at Bildad and Zophar. Then we will look at Job's response to his friends. Well, Bildad argued from the standpoint of human tradition.